Blog Talk Radio.
Hang on, mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you. This Christmas, home as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be very special Christmas. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the sound of you. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Quadrillon. And I am Quadrillon, and here's my husband.
Hello.
Kenny. And tonight we are going to just continue on with the conversation that we had on our last show last Tuesday, and anything else that, you know, may come up, we can talk about. We don't have anything real formal on tonight. You know, it's the holiday time, so just kind of a free-flow Tuesday, I guess, what tonight will be. But we do have a topic that we'll start off with, like I said, a continuation from last week's show. The holiday debate. Christmas time is here, and many people are in the holiday spirit. However, there is an ongoing debate amongst many believers whether or not Christians should celebrate Christmas. This issue often turns into a heated discussion, and some families are torn about whether or not they are allowed to celebrate Christmas or any other holiday. So again, thank you for joining us on tonight, Tuesday, December the 13th, 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern, as we continue this controversial issue. If you're listening in, if you're streaming and you would like to call in and give your opinion, please do call us at area code 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. We're going to go ahead and start opening up the lines. We have one caller on the line tonight. Leanne, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, doing good. Doing good.
I'm here.
Thank you so much. Huh?
I'm here as well.
Hi, Pastor Michelle. How you doing?
Fine.
I was waiting for my 20-minute call back.
I knew you was going to say that. That's why I said fine the way I said it, ma'am. Please call me after the radio show as I tell you what unfolded in these few hours.
Oh, but a long 20 minutes. Thank you, ladies, for calling in. Again, we're going to have kind of open conversation, nothing structured on tonight. So we look forward to hearing what you ladies have to say. Last time it was just us and up on the line. And so we discussed quite a bit, but I would like to go back and revisit some of those things because I would like to hear what you all have to say about whether or not Christians should celebrate Christmas or any other holidays, any other holidays. You have anything to say about it? Okay. All right. So how do you ladies feel about Christians celebrating Christmas? We'll start off with Christmas. Don't y'all speak so quick now. Don't speak too fast. Don't speak over each other and stuff.
I don't think it's such a big deal. I guess it depends on how their approach is. If people are so caught up in money-wise, what they're giving, what they're getting, all that they look for to if our Christmas comes. If that's their thought, then I think there's a problem. If they do things for their family and friends, whatever, but still remember the real meaning behind it, and that is their main goal. As far as Christmas, I don't think that anything is wrong with that.
Okay. That's kind of what we said last time. Pretty much in line with what we were saying last time. What about you, Pastor Michelle?
I personally agree exactly what Lily said. There, to me, personally, if it does not convict you, then celebrate it. Make sure that your children know the context in which Christmas means. After that, everybody's just so uptight about everything. Every little thing is going to send somebody to hell. Well, heck, if me acknowledging that Jesus came into this world and was born as a little baby and just so happened to acknowledge on December 25th it's going to send me to hell, then I just don't understand the rest of the world.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much what we were talking about last time. And so, you know, with that discussion, just one second, guys. Hey, Keto.
Hello, everybody. I tried talking and my phone was on mute.
How you doing?
I'm all right, yourself.
Doing good. We're just continuing our holiday debate conversation. We're kind of recapping about Christmas because Pastor Michelle and Sister Leanne are on the phone, so we want to know what they have to say. So if you have anything, you know, you want to say, please join on in.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Oh, I don't know. I just lost my train of thought. But, yeah, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about last week, and people are so uptight. And, you know, one of the things that they talk about is because Jesus wasn't born in December. Okay, well, he probably wasn't. But this is the time that we set aside, you know, to recognize his birth. And for those of us that are Christians, those, you know, that believe, you know, believe what the Bible says, and that's how we base our lives, then, you know, his birth was the beginning of it for us, because had he not been born, then he would not have been here to die, which reconciled us back to God so that we may have eternal life. And so, you know, we were just talking about that last time, how important it is for us to recognize that day, even though it may not have been in December, okay? We don't know. We weren't there. That's the day, you know, the Romans, they did whatever they did. But anyway, now that's the day that we have set aside to celebrate, and that's the time, you know, and that's just what we do. So that was pretty much what we were saying last week, what both of you said, you know, making sure we have a balance, you know, if you're okay, if it doesn't convict you, you know, do it. And I agree, Pastor Michelle, I think we are uptight about a lot of things. And so we do have Christians now that really feel like if they celebrate Christmas, they're going to go to hell. And so I asked this question last week, and so I'm going to ask you ladies, do you all know of a scripture in the Bible that says we're going to go to hell for celebrating Christmas?
I can't think. I've never seen one.
Me neither. Me neither.
I'll look it up on Google, but I haven't seen one. Although they'll give you the scripture in Jeremiah about the tree. That's
we talked about that.
Right. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. Right. We discussed that last week, and actually Mish brought that up, and I had it in my notes. Hey, Mish.
Hey, Pastor. Was that Pastor Michelle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's up, Pastor? How y'all doing?
You're doing good. Good.
That's good.
But Mish brought that up last week about that scripture, because Mish, somebody said something. Somebody told you were wrong for celebrating Christmas, right?
Yes, and they tried to make it seem like it was about a tree, and they, you know, gave me that scripture, and I was like, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I was like, that doesn't sound quite right. I was like, I'm not worshiping a tree, so that doesn't pertain to me.
Right, so it is. So how would you all suggest that someone responds to people that are pressuring them, like they did, you know, like someone who came to you, Mish, and told you you were wrong? How would you suggest a Christian that is struggling with that would, you know, how they can respond to someone that is telling them that they're wrong, and they're, you know, they're kind of newer believers, and, you know, and not like us, we're like, you know, whatever, you're not about to sway me. But, you know, the newer people that are kind of going back and forth with it, and, you know, they feel like they're being pressured. Do you all have any suggestions as to how someone could deal with that?
Yes, ma'am.
What?
I would make sure to tell those new believers that to let the people that are, you know, the scholars or whoever, first of all, show me in the Bible. Break it down from the King James to the Amplified and allow me to get revelation for myself. If it's not clear to me or God has not convicted me about it, then I'm going to continue to do it as I grow in Christ. But they should not be intimidated just because somebody else tells them what to do.
Right.
Right. I agree with that. And, you know, like myself, you know, I always just keep it in the back of my head for when I get with, you know, either you or Pastor Michelle, I ask a question. You know, I kind of don't leave the conversation just like dead. I always tell them I'll get back to you. You know what I mean? Because I need to, you know, seek counsel and also just look it up for myself to try to get an understanding.
Mhm. Right. Because people will sure try to convince you of anything, and if you don't know how to get in there for yourself, they might actually make you start believing some of this
That's
stuff
right.
Just because it sounds halfway right. So what do you guys think about Halloween?
That's a whole nother subject to me.
Yep, I was getting ready to say the same thing. Like, there's, like, how Halloween does, like, absolutely nothing. You know, it's not, I mean, there's nothing in the Bible that refers to Halloween in any type of good way. You know, so it's, yeah, that's completely, totally different. And I don't do Halloween at all, haven't for a long time. You know, even as a kid, my mother didn't let us do Halloween. And as a kid, you know, of course, we didn't understand, you know, we were just upset because we weren't in costumes like our friends. But as I got older, you know, of course, then I understood, you know. But, yeah, I think it's not right at all. Don't celebrate it.
Anybody else?
I'm going to say, me personally, because of, I know that all days are God's days, but that particular day is set aside that the enemy runs rampant. I feel like, as far as, like, kids are concerned, you know, the kids are going to, oh, Mom, Jacob got candy, and they're going to want the same things that other kids have. I do feel like that it's okay, in a sense, without pushing it, you know, to allow something to happen in the church that's going to help the children know that, hey, we're going to keep this in the house. We're going to keep this in the house, versus them going out and getting your kids snatched up and sacrificed and things like that. Do I agree with washing the adults dress up as the sexy maids and you're in a church? In the church and grabbing some candy and playing games on them occupied. I personally don't see anything wrong with that. But I could be wrong. What do you think, Pastor Kenny?
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing?
What's going on, bro?
Nothing much. Well, personally, this is, you know, me talking. Halloween is set aside for you to conjure up evil spirits.
Right.
And during this time, these evil spirits that are conjured up, many people conjure up these evil spirits by way of, you know, Ouija boards, seances, you name it, because most people like to dibble and dabble in it to see if it's really real. But what really mind boggles me is the fact that people would much rather, they would much rather celebrate and get out and celebrate a day of the dead, a day of the evil, opposed to celebrating the fact that, or a day that was set aside to celebrate life and life more abundantly. And that just really bothers me that people would do that. And you know, you have these self-righteous, self-proclaimed Hebrew Israelite that actually will condemn a believer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will condemn them for believing in the gospel. But yet, you know, they'll do all sorts of things and try to tell us, well, you know, y'all celebrating Christmas. And no, it's not that we're celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ coming into the world from the flesh, from spirit to flesh. And then from that point on, giving his life for the world so that we may have an opportunity and a chance at living life abundantly. And not only living life abundantly, but also living life eternally with our Father in heaven. Now, the word does say many are called, but the chosen are few. Many are called. And many being called because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So what really gets me is the fact that people were just, everybody gets out, everybody goes spend hundreds of dollars to have these costume parties and have these Halloween ritual seances. You know, opposed to saying, hey, you know, this is the season's forgiving. Let us give back to the Lord, you know, what's rightfully His, or let us bless those that are in need. So, you know, that's my take on it.
So what do you think about, I know what you think, but what do you think about the churches doing something for the kids on Halloween? Or on that day, not celebrating Halloween?
Well, based on the time of the year, according to the Farmer's Almanac, normally farmers would actually reap their harvest from what they've actually taken and actually planted out in their fields. After they've tilled their field, they till the ground, they planted their seed, and they've given their seed time to grow and produce a harvest. So I think it's perfectly fine for the Christians, you know, to get together and have a harvest festival for the children, because it's a way of giving back, and you're giving back by way of blessing somebody that's less fortunate. It's a way of giving an opportunity for people to learn about Jesus the Christ, you know, and a lot of people don't believe in that. They just don't believe in it. Me, I don't like saying the term Halloween. I would much rather say harvest, you know, because like I said, the harvest, and the Bible even says that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Now, we're not getting out there. It basically means that the field is the world. The harvest is ready. The world is ready for Christians to get out and plant the seed and go out and spread the gospel, you know, into the hearts of man. But the laborers are few, meaning that there are not enough of us getting out there doing what we should do. The Great Commission, therefore, bringing in lost souls and helping to create disciples to go out and spread the name and the gospel of the Lord.
Amen. Pastor Kenny, I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, I actually have a correction.
Okay.
The Hebrew Israelites, they actually believe in Halloween. They do not believe in Christmas. Could you say what would be the difference in their religion versus our relationship with verses of the things that they believe, what we believe?
Okay, sure. Well, the Hebrew Israelite has a term and to the deity that they worship is called Yahusha, whereas we believe in Yahweh or Yahshua. You know, we also consider God Jesus Christ. We also consider Jesus the Son of God, which they don't. We consider him a prophet, which they don't. You know, they don't believe in Jesus the Christ.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the Son of God, the Messiah. I'm sorry, the Messiah. I said the prophet. The Messiah. Thank you, babe. But the Messiah, which they don't believe that he was the Messiah. They believe that he was just someone that went out and just spoke the word. You know, they don't deem him as a deity, a spiritual deity, supreme deity at all. And yet, you know, I've seen many videos, and I've watched many videos on this particular cult. I'm just gonna call it what it is. And the word of God says, by loving kindness have I drawn thee. Not by, preach, come on, and beating people down, and not drawing people by love. They're not drawing people by love. And this is something they're on this horrendous quest to try to prove that Jesus Christ is not real. And of course we know God to be the Most High God. He's the highest of God. And we say the Most High God. Christians say the Most High God because there are demigods, and then there are tiny gods, small gods, Greek gods, you know, Zeus, you know, you name it. You know, there are Greek gods. But those are gods with the lowercase g, opposed to our God, the Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, the capital G, O D, we deem him the supreme deity of everything, ruler over everything, which, you know, they just say the Most High. And most people get confused, and then they always holler out, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up from what?
Right.
I mean, we ain't taking no nap. I'm up last I checked. I'm walking around. I ain't sleep driving, sleepwalking. You know, but yeah, that's it.
That's
right.
We have two new callers. we have two new callers. Caller ending in 5359. You're on the air.
Well, good evening. This is Janelle.
Hey, Janelle. How you doing?
Hello. I'm doing good.
How's the baby?
He's fine. Getting big.
You sound so rested.
She do sound rested to be a new mama.
Thank you.
Cause I'm tighter than her. Sound good, girl.
Thank you.
Well, your line is open. Please feel free. We're pretty much just having an open conversation. We're talking about holiday debate, and this for you too, Keisha, because I know you're on there. We've discussed, you know, Christmas. We discussed it last week and then this time, whether or not Christians should celebrate Christmas. Then we went into Halloween, and then Pastor Michelle just got my husband on this tangent because she knew that he was going to go there talking about Hebrew Israelite. So, yeah. But that's where we are. But it's pretty much an open forum tonight. Open forum.
Thank
but
you,
if you have anything
right
to say,
Pastor Kenny gave us great revelation. If we did not know that Pastor Kenny gave us great revelation, if we did not know in your Most High, in our the Most High, the Most our the Most High God, and the separation, now that's just the truth. So I say thank you, Pastor Kenny.
You're welcome.
Oh Lord, Keisha, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Oh, God, you sound horrible. I'm good. How you doing?
Is that Keisha Kaylee?
Y'all so rude tonight. Who, please don't do that.
Was that Keisha Kaylee?
It is me. And I have a cold, but we not going to do that tonight. First of all, Quadra, you just could have kept that to yourself. Oh, you sound horrible. Oh, my goodness. I promise if we had been friends for so long. Oh, my. I'm just going to put my phone back on mute because I do not appreciate where I'm being treated right now. And I'm going to
I love you, friend. I just meant, you know, sound like you're happy. No, of course. I just meant you didn't sound like your happy, chirpy self. You know, that's what I mean.
I feel like you lying to me right now. But I'm going to go ahead and put my phone back on mute. And I'm going to let y'all go ahead and carry on the conversation. Do know I don't have anything else to say tonight, so do not call my name again.
Of course I will.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll talk to y'all later, but I'm about to listen, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my friend. Well, Keisha, if we need you, you know, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Don't let me know.
Going back to what we were talking about Halloween, I agree. You know, we know that Halloween, the day, you know, they celebrate the dead. And I think a lot of people don't realize what Halloween is. I don't think people realize the origin of it. They don't know what it means. They don't know what happens on that day. You know, a lot of people are very ignorant, but not in a bad way. I don't, you know, they're ignorant concerning it. And so they see it as an innocent thing. You know, it's just a fun thing. You know, I get to dress my kids up. You know, we go to Halloween parties. And so they don't really know what's really behind it. And that's where a lot of people, and on that day, there are a lot of
you know, there is sacrificing that's going on. Some of these kids that are missing, they've been sacrificed. You know, the seances and all this stuff, I've, you know, even heard that they do it over the costumes and all those kind of things. And so some people just really don't know. But if you look at it, I think once we step over, some of us, it takes for us to step over into the body of Christ, and then we look at it, you know, because when we're, before stepping over, if we see, you know, we see the vampires and all that kind of stuff, and we think it's just kind of okay. I even see people in the church, actually, that think it's okay. I saw a lot of that even on Facebook. But I guess as you grow and you mature, then you really look at it and you're like, why are we glorifying that? You know, why glorify evil? Why glorify, you know, death like that? It's different, you know, when someone dies in Christ, you know, that they you know, they've completed their work, and, you know, that's different when you celebrate their home going. But the, you know, the way that they're doing it, it's just, if you, once you have that relationship, it just, it don't even seem right. It's just real, just off. But I also do agree with the churches doing things, you know, the harvest festivals and those type of things to do something for the kids, and to also bring in people, because, you know, the kids, they do feel left out. Sometimes they do. And so that'll give them something to do. But also when they do that, a lot of times it'll draw in people that don't even go to church. You know, people will bring their kids. And when they come, you know, that is a time to minister. That is a time to, you know, to evangelize and do those type of things. And I know our church in Texas, we used to go to a church there. They do wonderful. They have a big, big shebang, you know, for their harvest festival. And they draw a lot of people. And so it's great. I think it's a good thing. We have a new caller. Caller ending in 5993.
Hey, Pastor Claudia, it's Courtney.
Hey, Courtney, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just called you to listen in, that's all.
Well, if you feel as though you have anything to say, madam, your line will be open. So join on in on the conversation. We're just having a free flow conversation on tonight. So join on
okay,
in if you have something to say.
Yes,
all right. So that's, you know, that's how I feel about it. I think that, I know there are some believers that do have a problem with it. They feel like, well, if you have anything on that day, you're wrong. You're celebrating Halloween. I disagree with that. You know, again, if you are taking it, you're saying this is for a harvest festival, we're drawing in people, and, you know, we're showing them Christ, allowing people to have a good time, you know, give them some food. Y'all know you got food. You can draw in people with some food. You know, then that's just what, you know, sometimes we have to do those type of things in order to bring people in. Now, I know, Pastor Michelle, when we were talking about this around that time, I had never heard until you told me this, that there are churches that have haunted houses. I have a problem with that.
Yes.
Now, that I had never heard of that before.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
I'll,
you know, that.
I'll send you some pictures.
Yeah, that to me is taking it a little. No, not a little. That to me is taking it, taking it way too far. So, churches having haunted houses. Courtney's online.
Oh. Hey, Courtney, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What about you?
Hanging in there, sis. Hanging in there. Glad you called the line.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Now that I'm back in the States, I'm able to actually be awake for it. You know, over there in Germany, you know, I was up to like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning just trying to listen in.
Well, thank God you're in the States.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm in Fort Benning, so I'm going to try to go out to the home church this Sunday.
Okay, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to call you for it. There you go.
Yeah.
I will call you.
Okay.
I'm going to hit you. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to say about Halloween, Christians, and Halloween or Harvest Fest or Christmas and anything? Okay, this. Then I'm going to go back to Christmas 1 second.
Okay, so also, there are nationalities out there. I'm not going to put any names out there or put any nationalities on over the air, but I'm going to just say it like this. There are nationalities out there who have never, ever served God, who have no relationship with God whatsoever, who don't even know who the Holy Trinity is, but yet they feel that they are royal priesthood. They are the chosen people that are going to heaven when they pass from this earth. And they're the only nationality that will go to heaven, and everybody else is going to burn in the pits of hell.
Oh, my God.
Right.
What really bothers me about the holidays and how people take the holidays, you can have one person that has deemed themselves a philosopher, put a DR dot on the front of their name, have no credentials whatsoever. To be a doctor, say a couple of things that'll make some people think and be like, you know what? I ain't never really thought of that like that. But you know, but if you look at the word holiday, the way it used to be spelled was H-O-L-Y-D-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Holy day. But a lot of people don't know that. So they feel like having a Merry Xmas instead of saying Merry Christmas because they got Christ at the front of it. They feel like that's a bad thing. So let me just say Happy Holidays, okay? But in actuality, you're still saying Happy Holy Day because you don't know. The Happy Holy Day is a Sabbath day. But a lot of people, you can't do this on this day. You can't do this on this day. Well, let's remember something. Jesus came, right? He came so that we can live in liberty. Live in freedom. Live in freedom. He didn't eradicate the law completely, but we're no longer bound to it as far as the point of where we can be condemned for breaking one of the laws. Just as the scribes, you know, the scribes have done back in the day took Jesus and nailed him to the cross, which not many people know because they say, well, he healed on the Sabbath. He raised the dead. He did this. He sat with sinners. Well, we're all born in sin. Because last I checked, no matter how old, what nationality a child is, when that child is born into this world, when that child is old enough to talk, don't nobody have to teach that child a lie. That child automatically come out the womb knowing how to lie.
That's right.
Damn, that ain't a sin. But yet we got all these people that don't have no relationship with Jesus Christ. They have not given their life according to Romans 10:9-10. Have not given their life according to John 3:16. But yet to tell you, oh, I'm going to heaven, brother. I know I'm going. So you say?
Right.
Now the word does say that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, which means we're all going to come into the knowledge of seeing and knowing and actually witnessing the clouds come open, us being raised into the air to be judged, right? And where we're going to get our final resting place, whether it's in heaven or, well, say it with me, hell. But yet so many people will sit there and try to condemn you for the holy day. They'll condemn you for that. But tell them that going to the club on a Saturday is wrong. But no, but according to you, you're condemning me for not going to church on Saturday, but you can go to the club on a Sabbath day, though, right? And it's perfectly okay. You can go drink, do everything under the sun. It's perfectly okay. But then as soon as I say, hey, you know, we're gonna deem this day where we're gonna celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, then you ready to stone me. That just blows my mind.
Well, amen, preacher, amen. All right now. But that's true though. You will hear that as well, because the Sabbath day is Saturday. That is the actual Sabbath day. It's not Sunday. Sunday's not the Sabbath day. But Sunday's the day that we have set aside that we choose to go and worship. And so you will hear that you're wrong for. You can worship God whenever you want to. You don't have. You can always worship God. You can worship God Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, even when people try to use that to say you're wrong, you can worship God on whatever day. But actually, when the Sabbath day, when God gave, you know, them the commandment for his people about the Sabbath day, there's, you know, you're supposed to rest and keep that day holy. That's what you're supposed to do, that seventh day. That's what the Sabbath day means, the seventh day. And so a lot of people will tell you wrong for going to church. They not doing that on the seventh day. But anyway, so
okay, callers, listeners, thank y'all for calling. Thank you for listening. But see, we also need to look at Sunday as being the first day of the week. That's us giving God back our first fruit. That's us giving God back the first day of the week and saying, Lord, this is the first day that I give back to you, and I give honor and reverence unto you. So in actuality, first fruit of the week, I'm tithing and going to church on a Sunday, the first day of the week, right?
That's right.
Because I'm giving my time. And not only am I giving my time, right, I've allotted time, a specific amount of time, to say, God, you're worthy enough for me to celebrate and just honor you from 9:30 to 11:30 or 9:30 to 1:30. If I want to honor you from 9:30 to 2:30 on Sunday, then, Lord, I can do that. But let them self-righteous people that hardly ever go to church and let it go past 1:30 and watch what happens. Oh, man, the game on. Oh, man, my grief, man. I can't even eat. Man, they tripping. They messing up my bill 30.
That's it. That is shit. You know it's all
right.
He's got it right.
Hey, you know you got him started.
I got
the ball started.
I'm so sorry. I thought we was on mute, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, we heard you.
We heard you.
Look, I want to go back to the holiday. You finished, babe? Anybody got anything to say about it?
You got to hit the caveat on what he said.
Go ahead, Keto.
I was going to say, just a caveat on what he said. You know, when he was talking about the first day of the week and everything, you can look at a calendar. What day comes first? That's how you solve that right there.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's right, though. And so, you know, we really do. We have to be careful about what we allow people to, I guess, to put into our spirits. And it does go back to relationship, like you were saying earlier, Pastor Michelle. That's the important thing. You have to have a relationship with Christ for yourself. It's a personal thing. And in that personal thing, it's just like any other relationship, you know, relationship that we have with our parents, with our spouses. You know, you have to spend time in that relationship, and that's the thing that a lot of people miss. You know, how are you and your spouse going to be close if you don't talk, if you don't spend time together? And it's the same thing with God. You know, how are you going to have that intimate relationship if you don't get to know who he is, if you don't spend time with him? You know, reading his word, getting in prayer, that's getting to know him, know who he is, know his character, you know about him. And so that's why it's important for us to do those things. It's more than just, oh, girl, you just need to pray and read your Bible. No, it's more than that. It's an intimate thing. It's an intimacy. You know, Kenny and I are, was it 15 years back? 15? Yeah, I always forget. I be forgetting for real. I think 15-year anniversary coming up this month. You know, and how can we finish each other's sentences if we don't spend time together? You know, how can he look at me and know when something's going on if he doesn't get to know me? You know, and the same thing even with friendships. And so that's the thing. It is about having relationship. And then once you get in that relationship, the more you draw closer to God and you get to know more about him and you know, closer to him, and then the more you will find yourself, or we find ourselves converting to his ways, to the things that he desires for us, the ways that he desires for us to be, you know, the more conviction right. we'll have from, the, you know, the Holy Spirit, because we, you know, we want to be pleasing to him. You know, we want to do what he desires for us to do, because the things that God desires for us to do, it's for us. That's what we have to know. Everything about God is based on love. And so we have to know that even when it's just like with our children, even when we are correcting our children and we are disciplining our children, that should be the root should always be love. Because right. even in that, even when God gets us and he chastises us, his root is still love. And we get aggravated because we have to tell our children something 2 times. I don't told you. I don't already told you. How many times does God tell us something yeah. over and over and over and over and over again? The things that he expects from us are the things that he displays. When he talks, you know, when he says in his word, patience, kindness, you know, will we mercy, grace, these are things that God gives towards us, and he expects us to be a reflection of him. And that's just what it is. You know, yes, we know he's a God of judgment. We know that, you know. But even before that time comes, you know, thank God for Jesus. But even in the Old Testament, he still was telling them folks the same thing over and over again. They ain't listen. You know, they were stiff-necked, but he still told them. But thank God for Jesus. But, you know, he still will tell us over and over and over and over again, even before the fall, you better know there's going to be a warning, a warning, a warning, a warning. You know, he's just good like that. He's really good like that, and that's what he – and that's how he expects us to be. That is how we are supposed to be. We are to be a walking – example of him. Are we going to always get it right? Of course we're not going to always get it right because we're human, but it's something that we should strive for. The church, not the building, but the church, us, the basis should be love. That is what people should see when they see us. Love. That's what they should see. Corinthians, what, 13? That's what they should see. Love. God is love. That's what he is. And they should see love. Even, again, even in rebuke, even in all of that, they should still see love. Hey, Evangelist Aria, how you doing?
Hi, Pastor Kwajalein. Good, and yourself?
Doing good. Doing good. Thank you for calling in on tonight.
No problem.
Huh?
Sorry, I'm waiting. Hello, everybody.
Hi. No, that's okay. Thank you for calling. Well, your line is open. Looks like we had, oh, we got another caller, y'all. Hold on. Caller ending in 4165, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
And who am I speaking with?
Nathan Sanders.
Oh, hey, Nathan, how you doing?
Hey.
Well, thank you for calling in on tonight. Your line is open. If you have anything to say, we would love to get your perspective here, person on the line. So if you have anything to say, please feel free.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. But, you know, that's... Go ahead. Huh? Who is that?
Leanne.
Go ahead. What were you saying?
I said, are you calling the rest of us old?
Older. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all know. Older. That's what I'm saying. You know, older. The on the end. But we have to be very careful, and I had mentioned this last time too. There's such a strong spirit of Keisha K. Lane says she's young, y'all. She's not talking, so she texts me that she's young. Okay. All right, Keisha.
The devil is a liar.
And I can't say that. I didn't say
what the Lord has for me.
I hope you hear him in the background.
The devil is a liar.
But there's such a strong spirit of control now in the church. And what it has, what it's doing is causing people to really, first of all, it's causing people to leave the church. And then it's causing people to be distracted, that we're not focused on relationship like we should be, because we're focused on trying to, you know, meet all these standards and stuff and do what people are telling us to do. And then, you know, it's like we're not looking at God like we should. We're not looking at, you know, what Jesus has commissioned us to do. We're not looking at that because we're trying to meet all these extra standards than not even in the word, you know, stuff, because people think that you should and should not should do this, or you shouldn't do this, or you better not, or you better do it, you know. And it's causing a lot of distraction. So we just have to be careful, you know, stay, again, work on that relationship, making sure we're staying in our word, making sure we're staying in prayer, and making sure that we are, you know, being the example that God has called us to be, and, you know, just being confident in our relationship with him. So I was going to go back to Christmas, but I got off guard. So that's good. That's why I went. Anybody have anything to add on to that?
I think that's completely the truth, especially with nowadays churches and everything that's going on around the world. The church is trying to keep its balance with the world and not be attacked. But I think doing that, it kind of it's a distraction. It takes everyone's eyes off of God and Jesus, and more so puts us in a position where the church feels like it has to stand its ground, I guess, and they're not really standing it because they're living what the church was built on, if that makes any sense.
That's true. So we talked about this before. Oh, go ahead. I wanted to ask you this question, Nate. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying. Now I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh, no, that was completely it. That's all I have to say about it.
So do you think the church is losing this generation?
I think, in a sense, yes, I do. I do think that. And it's more so because I think this generation thinks differently. And with the generation that thinks differently, you have to try different tactics to bring in a generation that thinks differently. You can't use tactics that were used back in the 80s or the 90s or even the early 2000s, because you have different people, and you have different people, you have different eras. We think differently. So I feel like with the church's mindset these days, it just doesn't work with this more free spirit, I'm going to do what I want to kind of era that we have. And it's more so because kids my age look at church like it's kind of like it's a restraint, you know? And it shouldn't be like that. But I think every kid from any generation has looked at church like that. It's just worse in this generation.
Right. I agree. So I completely agree. Courtney, what do you think? Because you weren't on the line the night we had that conversation. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Nate and what he said as well. I know because when I was growing up, I was like, church is boring. It's not fun. There's nobody that understands what I'm going through. They're always, you know, just everything is just oh so happy go lucky. But you know, there was never really anybody that could relate to me and get on my level. But I will say nowadays there are some people in our generation that are coming out with like Christian rap music, or now I'm looking at, you know, these Christian poets and they go around the world, you know, performing their poems that they've written, and it's very powerful. And I see they're reaching a lot of youth like that as well. It's kind of hard to find because nobody really talks about it that much. But it is starting to come out. But I will, like I said, agree with Nate as well that I kind of feel like sometimes church will try to conform to the world sometimes. Like I see people doing the whip and the nay-nay in church. I'm like, are you serious? Like, what is going on? Like, it's supposed to be the other way around, not the church conforming to the world, but the world, you know, coming into, you know, into the church. But, I do agree with Nate on what he said.
Right. Well, we talked about it the last time. I think we pretty much agreed. There has to be a balance. Because we do mm-hmm. have to reach this generation, you know, the millennials. Mm-hmm. We have to reach this generation. But at the same time, we don't want to just go way overboard, you know, to where it's just like, okay, really? You know, that's no God or anything. And so we have to know how to have that balance. How to, you know, have that balance where we are reaching these young people because, yeah, you're right, the things that worked back in the days when I know when, you know, I was coming up, Kenny, you know, our age, and it's not like that even anymore. Even my kids, Jared just turned 4. In the church we go to here, they don't have a children's ministry. And, of course, Jeremiah, all he talks about is GHTOF, too. He was just saying the other day, I wish we were back in Germany, you know. So, he, you know, I think a lot of us kind of still dealing with that. but even Jared, he was like, Mom, are we going to go to the same church? And I was, you know, and I told him, well, for right now, I said, you don't want to go there anymore? He was like, no, ma'am, I want to go to a church where it's kids and we can play. And, you know, for him to be 4, he's letting me know I'm bored. But when we were growing up, you know, you sat in church. That's just what it was. And it ain't no, you know, going to your mama talking about, I wish we just had a children's church. You know, but, you know, they're different. He's just like, you know, I don't want to go, you know, that's not what I want to do. And I completely understand that. You know, this is a new generation of kids. You know, we sat there. You better not go to sleep either. I wish you might go to sleep. That's when they had switches then. You better get up.
Right.
You better get up. You know, but these kids, you can't, if they're not interested, they're just not. And so we do have to find a way to give them the gospel in a way that will, you know, keep their interest, that will cause them to, you know, have a thirst, that will want more, but at the same time hold the standard. And I think that's, you know, where some people are having a problem with finding a balance.
Exactly.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we thank you guys for that. Thank you. So that's something we definitely, I know when Kenny and I start our next ministry, wherever we are, you know, that's one of the things I do look forward to is having a youth ministry. I know Kenny's very good with teenagers. I'm more so with the young, you know, the little ones. But, so I do look forward to that because, you know, you guys, this new generation, you guys are our future. So, you know, we don't want to lose you guys. That's just not what we want to do. Not at all. Well, it's 9:00, so we're going to go ahead and get ready to end. Does anybody have anything to say? I know we were kind of all over the place tonight, but like I said, it was kind of free Tuesday since we didn't have our Free Flow Friday. Does anybody have anything else to add on?
I have one little piece of something to add on, Pastor Quadrilla.
Go ahead.
What I was just hearing coming in at the end, but I think as far as us older folks go, that if we can meet younger people where they are, because I think of when Paul said I was all things to all people, knowing that he didn't stoop down to what they were doing, things that they were doing wrong, but there's at least one thing in everybody that you could find something to where you can, their interest can be your interest. It'd be something that you guys can have in common. And if you can find a common mm-hmm. ground there with somebody, I think then once you get that young person's interest and you get in common with that, then they'll be willing to hear other things. And then they'll start paying attention to you on other levels. Because now they feel like, okay, you do see me. It is something about me you understand.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
I think the hard part about it, though, is the average human being, their attention span is 8 seconds.
Yeah,
that's only
fine.
That is only 1 second longer than a pet goldfish. So you mm-hmm. have essentially 8 seconds to captivate this person with whatever it is that you have to say before you've essentially just lost them to something shiny on the ceiling. You know, and that mm-hmm. that is what's hard. That's what's hard.
That is definitely an issue. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, better use them 8 seconds wisely.
Right, and that's sad.
You know, and it's hard. It's hard to do that. I mean, like, you know, there are. I don't know many people that can, you know, say something in 8 seconds and have me all in. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
I don't know that many people. So, you know, that'll be hard, extremely hard for somebody to do. And you know, the thing is, like, I just looked this up just so I wouldn't be talking. You know, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, just 3 years ago, the average attention span was 12 seconds. So if it's dropped that far, that fast, you know, what's it going to be in 2 years? You know, so it's going to be even
fast.
Harder to get people's attention.
mm-hmm. I wonder why it dropped.
Apps, social media.
Bingo.
Definitely.
True. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else. We definitely have to use our social media the right way, because we talked about this before too. You know how older people be like, y'all put too much on Facebook. Y'all put too much out there. Well, that's the world we live in. That's what it is now.
Yeah, you know? Well, see, that's the thing, though. People, they would say, oh, y'all put too much on Facebook, blah, 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 you know, things of that sort. But that's the equivalent to us sitting on the porch like they used to do and running down all the neighborhood gossip. It's the equivalent of what they used to do back then. You know, now we just have the technology that they did. Like, I would watch my mother and my grandmother sit on the phone for hours talking about what neighbors doing. You know, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's just a different way, and that's the world we live in, you know. Because they say that even if you put on there, oh, I'm at the doctor's or my baby was in the hospital, y'all just put too much out there, you know. And it's, I mean, that's how it is. That's how we communicate now, you know. It's the world we live in, and it's not going back. I guarantee you that, you know.
Nope.
I'm not gonna go back. Hey, just have to get with it and move forward. But yeah, so, you know, using the tools that we have to try to make sure we're ministering and being a light, you know, trying to do what we can to grab these young people's attention. And, you know, like Evangelist Ari was saying, meet them where they are and, you know, find something. Even the poetry, like Evangelist Courtney was saying, I didn't know that many people were, you know, that they were blowing up like that during the Christian poetry. But I think that's a great idea. I think that's a, you know,
awesome. Sure.
That would be definitely something I would consider doing at our, we do have another church having like a little poetry night or something, you know, just bringing in different things like that. Something that's, it's clean, you know, you still can, you know, make sure that it's centered around Christ, but it's still fun. It's interesting. So that's mm-hmm. that's definitely something that I would definitely enjoy. Definitely. Well, we are going to continue to pray for you guys. I ask that you all continue to lift us up in prayer. And for those of you know that I haven't been feeling well, I am feeling better. I thank God for that. So I ask that you guys just continue to pray for me, you know, until I get to 100. Not at 100, but I'm better than what I was. So I thank God for that. I truly do. You have something to say,
Yeah.
And just for us old heads, just since she mentioned that, we had this one song that we used to sing. Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100 because 99 and a half won't do. So we praying for her 100%, y'all. And I pray that y'all have a blessed, blessed holiday season and you have a joyous weekend this weekend and the remainder of the week. Friday we won't be on because, you know, we actually trying to push these little knuckleheads out of here for holiday block leave. Lord Jesus, I can't wait to get a break because we all need a break. But we love y'all. We thank y'all for calling in. And as y'all are hanging up, we ask that y'all go ahead and bob your heads to this Donny Hathaway this Christmas.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good night.
We're coming to the mountain.